That was great. Appreciate it. Let's pray. Father, you are awesome and mighty and powerful. We love you. Your name is great, and may it be made even greater this day as people around the world worship you and praise you and lift you up on high to the place that you deserve in our world and in our hearts. Father, we thank you for the blessing it is to come together as a body of Christ to worship you and praise you and to love and care for one another and to sing worship to you and to open up your word together. We thank you, Father, for that blessing that it is. And Lord, open our hearts and minds. Help us just to absorb your word this morning. Write it on our hearts. May we leave this place ever changed because you are a holy God. May we become more like Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Well, that was fun, wasn't it? Yeah. We didn't know how that was going to get pulled off today, but there's so many other people that go into making this place, helping this place function. We have a clean team that comes on Thursday mornings for the most part. We have a couple of people on the team that come at different times, and I know Sonia Reimer comes in when nobody knows that she's here. She goes downstairs and she vacuums down the first level, and Chris and Mui come in and they mop the floors when no one else is around, and the clean team comes on Thursday morning, and just so many people that go in to helping us function. We've been in this series called Gearing Up, and we've been talking about what it means to be the body of Christ and what it means for everyone to have a role and to find your place within the body. And we've been looking at what the church is, who the church is. We did that the first week, and Tim looked last week at how there's so many gears working together and how everything makes it function. And so I wanted to pick up in 1 Corinthians 12 today, and if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn there. 1 Corinthians 12. And we're going to start at the end of that chapter, 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 27. And as we look today and consider this whole idea of the church and being many parts and functioning as one, I want us to think in terms of this church that Paul is writing this letter to, this church that is just a holy mess. There's all kinds of things going wrong and going on within this church. They apparently have trouble with unity and have trouble with people pitching in to do their part to be able to do the church. And I want us to read it from that perspective so it may speak to our heart and allow us to look at our own church and our own role and our own place to see where God has us at this time. All right. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually you're members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? You can answer. No. Are all prophets?
No.
Are all teachers?
No.
Do all work miracles?
No.
Is everybody on the clean team?
No.
Can everybody sing like these people did up here?
No.
Can everybody play guitar like Daryl does?
No.
Do all possess gifts of healing? I added that last part, by the way. You saw that, right? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? My nose are running out of gas. But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. So at the very beginning of this section of verses, Paul says a couple of things. He says, now you are the body of Christ. And so in your bulletin, it says you are, and that fill in the blank is together the body of Christ. Together, we are the body of Christ. Now, we have a beautiful building here, don't we? And on Friday, there's a picture in our office of, I believe it's six guys, and Cecil's leaning on a shovel. And it was 7 years ago Friday that they broke ground for this building. And we're coming up on our fifth year anniversary or celebration of when the church was open for business, right? Everything was completed and everything was done. And this is a great building, and my favorite part about the building, coming from a church that did not experience this, is that it's debt-free. Right? Can I get an amen for that? Oh, yeah. And I can't tell you, yeah, I can't tell you how many churches in this country and probably in the world that are leveraged so much by their building that it just really handcuffs the ministry staff and missionary giving and all those different things. And so we are very blessed to have a building that's paid for. And it's a very functional building, and we have rooms to be able to have stuff and room to grow and all that kind of thing. But the fact of the matter is, and you and I both know it, we've been told this for ages, the church is not the building, is it? No. The church is the people. The church is all the people inside. In fact, our non-instrumental brethren, you'll usually know the difference between whether a Church of Christ in the town is instrumental or non-instrumental, because on their sign it'll often say the such and such Church of Christ meets here, right? And the whole point of that is them saying that, listen, this is just a structure, this is just the building that we gather in. That's not really who the church is or what the church is. And if we emptied this church of people and just had a structure, just a building sitting here, could worship take place? No. Could a meal be made for someone that was in need? No. Could people be served? No. Why? Because it just doesn't have hands and feet or a heartbeat. It's just a structure. It's a building. And so while it's a huge blessing, as Paul says, you are the body of Christ. We collectively, as we come together, as Christ followers have accepted Christ as our Savior and Lord, we make up the body of Christ. We're the church, right? We learned a couple of weeks ago that body of Christ is another way of saying the church, an ecclesia, a gathering of people around the fact that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And just as our own bodies, we need to take care of the church body. Right, we take care of our own bodies, supposedly. I'm letting Pete Shetler take care of my body, and I'm beginning to dislike Pete more and more every Wednesday as we're in this Run for God program. But we have our own bodies, right? And our heart, you can correct me later, don't embarrass me now, but I believe the heart is a muscle, and we need to exercise that muscle, right? We need to take walks, we need to run, we need to do something to get our heart rate and our heartbeat going so that we can strengthen our heart. Our legs and our arms, we need to be active to be able to exercise. That's the way that we take care of our physical bodies. And so the church body is the same way. We need to exercise the church body. How do we do that? We serve. We serve our community like we're doing this afternoon with our 214 program. We love our neighbor as ourselves. We have life group together. We care for one another within the church. That's a way of a form of exercising so that we can strengthen our body. We also, a body, I don't know about you, but I like to eat. That's how I fuel my body. Maybe the fuel I put in is extra leaded sometimes, but I like to feed my body. That's a fuel that we have. That's one of the first lessons Pete gave us in Run for God, is that you think of food as the fuel for your body. And what we put in is what we're going to get out energy-wise and things. The same way with the church body. We need to feed our church body. So how do we feed our church body? Well, we preach from God's Word on Sunday mornings. We have life groups that disciple the people that are there and dive into Scripture even more and ask questions of each other. We have our Titus 2 ladies group where there's discipleship taking place. Men, we have different men that are discipling one another and encouraging and sharpening one another in that way. And that's feeding the body. The body also needs rest, doesn't it? That's my favorite thing that I get to do for my body. Rest, right? Doesn't happen all that often, maybe, but we like to rest and get our solid 6.5 at night, right? Or 4 or 3 or 8. We need rest. The same way with the servants within the body, we try to ask people to serve once a month so that they can rest in between. So that they don't see it as, okay, if I go every Sunday to do this, I'm always giving, 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 and there's never feeding of my body taking place. And so we try to have enough people in place so that people are serving once a month, so a month or maybe twice a month in order to fill those roles. And that's a way of taking care of our body. But you get the idea. You are members. Us collectively, we make up this thing called the church, the body of Christ, and we need to take care of it. Paul says, secondly, and individually, members of it. Individually, we are members of the church. You remember that old American Express commercial that membership has its privileges, right? I think it was American Express. And they show pictures, of course, of the things that you were able to get. As much as you rack up in debt, they're able to give you gifts, right? Membership has its privileges. I got to tell you, membership in the body of Christ has its privileges as well. When we're members of this body, when we're all in and we say, you know what, I've not only been baptized into Christ, but I say, this is my church home. That's the place I'm going to invest. That's the place that I'm going to serve and find out what my part is, my role is to play. There's benefits that come along with that. I don't mind sharing with you today that I received a Facebook message, or my wife did this morning. She showed it to me, that I have a couple in my life group, and their son's having surgery tomorrow, and the Ronald McDonald House was full, and so they had to pay unexpectedly a couple of nights in a hotel room. It was expensive because they were doing it at the last second, and I don't mind sharing that with you because I'm confident that someone's going to come up afterwards and say, who is it? Let me pay for that. I don't mind taking that to my life group and saying, hey, can we pitch in to see if we can help pay for a night of that, or help pay for groceries or meals while they're gone, or something. I don't mind doing that because they're within the body. I know the couple, and they've invested in our body, and they're part of us, and we walk alongside them, and that's a perk of being part of the body. In the same way, a few Saturdays ago, I had a guy come into my office. I was studying, getting ready for Sunday, and he came in, and he wanted help. And man, my skeptical radar just went straight up. My antenna was up, and I was like, all right. And I started asking 1,000 questions. His story didn't add up. But if he was a member of my body, if I knew the story, if I knew what was going on, I know best how to help him and walk alongside he and his family. Instead, I had to go back and say, listen, I got to be honest with you. I don't think you're being truthful. Your story just doesn't add up. I don't see where my helping you with this is really going to help in the long term. I hated to do it, but I have to be a wise steward of what God has blessed this church with, and I think I made the right decision. But when you are a member of this body, it comes with perks. We take care of one another. We love and care for one another. And so when it says you are individually members of it, it means two things. One, that as Tim talked about, we all have a part to play, right? We're on the arm or the leg or the eye, and we can't say to the arm, I don't need you. And not everybody can be the leg because somebody has to be the ear. And we all have that part to play. And I've said it a million times, and I'll say it a million more, that if you've been called by God to be in this church body, for this to be your church home, and you are not playing a part, we are sick. We are not healthy. I'm going to pick on Christian because I looked and he had this smile on his face and he's got a cast and he's got his arm on. And that reminded me, you know, the poor kid just started school and now he's got a cast and he's got a sling and he's got to mess with that. And is that your writing hand? Yeah, of course it is, right? And so what? He's got to struggle through that. And why? He's got a part of his body that's not functioning the way it's supposed to. And the same way with the body of Christ. If you are supposed to be the eyes, the mouth, the arm, the ear, the leg, whatever it may be that you have been called to be a part of our body, and you're not doing that part, we're sick without you. We can't function at our full capacity without you. And as you do those things, as you say, I'm all in, I am with this body, I will do what God has called me to do within this body, your membership has its privileges, and that privilege is that you are a member of a greater body of people, of believers, that are going to love and care and take care of you. Now, that extends not just to the local body, but to the church, the bigger church as well. I was going to, I think it was a funeral. I should probably remember this. I have an uncle, his name is Marion Harris. Man, he was a great evangelist. And Marion passed away, and so we went to the funeral over in Roanoke, Virginia. On the way back, my car died right there in Lexington, Kentucky. And I was frustrated, didn't know what to do. So what did I do? I called the local church. I called the local church. The pastor picked up and he said, hey, you know what? I got a guy that I know I do business with. He's right here. I'll call him right now. I went over, took my car over there. We drove back with some others and went back and got the car. He charged me like $20 to fix the car. You ever had a car repair for $20? Yeah, me neither. Except putting gas in it. I guess that's a repair. But that comes a part of being part of the bigger church. We have a body of believers around the world that are praying with you and worshiping the same God and loving the same Jesus just like you do. And that membership comes with privileges of being a part of the body. You're the body of Christ, individually members of it. And the third thing he says, and God has appointed in the church, first apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healing, helping, administrating, various kinds of tongues. And what we see that not only are together we the body of Christ, right? And individually members of that same body, but we have been appointed gifts to build up that same body. We've been appointed gifts to build up that same body. It's not a coincidence that you've been called to worship here at Kalkaska Church of Christ. We need you. There is a part for you to play that has been outlined by God and drawn you here to say, this is the church body I have called you to, and here's the role that I have for you. He has called you to that. That we have all been brought together, some to be teachers and evangelists and have a prophetic word, a word from God to speak. That would be like teaching or teaching faith training class. And Tim walked through some of those. Hospitality, opening up your home to have people in. Administration, being organized and making sure all of our ducks are in a row. All these are gifts, and you have those gifts. And God has called you to a place to be a part of our body, to serve in one of those roles. Let me summarize this part of our scripture today by going to Ephesians chapter 4. Tim started part of chapter 4 last week. But if you go to Ephesians chapter 4, and starting in verse 11, it says this. And he gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers to do what? To equip the saints for the work of ministry for building up the body of Christ. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. The long and short of what Paul is saying is what? You are members of the body of Christ. You're individually members of it. And we've all been equipped in a way that as we all are working and functioning in the part that God has called us to and equipped us to do, we grow to maturity. And you know what maturity is in the Christian world? Being like Jesus. Is that not what we're all about? We want to be like Jesus. And that comes when everybody is functioning together. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God created in advance for us to do. Titus 4:8 says much the same thing. Let them know. They're created to do this good work. They've been tasked with this good work. This is what we want them to do. We want them to know that their job is to do these good works that God has put before them to do. We are the body of Christ. But then Paul goes on. And he goes on into 1 Corinthians 13. And 1 Corinthians 13, you've heard it read at a million weddings. And it's a beautiful chapter about love. But really, he's talking to the church. And so after he just talks with them about what unity means and being part of the body and everybody playing their part, he goes into 1 Corinthians 13 and he starts out this way. If I speak in the tongues of men, all right, so if I have the gift of speaking in tongues or interpreting, and of angels, but have not love, I am what? A noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Now I got to be honest with you, every now and then, when nobody's around, I sneak back in the drum cage and I just let loose. Usually there aren't any drumsticks, so I'm just imagining it in my mind, playing like Animal, you know, on the Muppets. I had a friend I worked with at our last church, and he was an artist, a singer-songwriter at one point, and he had this really nice guitar, a Gibson guitar, and he spent well over $1,000 for this thing, and he has a graduation gift, and one of my favorite things to do is to walk into Nathan's office and take that guitar off his wall and start playing something. And I don't play, so it was just like nothing, you know, and make up songs. And I'd look at him across his desk and I said, that bothers you, doesn't it? And he says, yeah, it really does. And right? If I play but I don't know what the plan is, if I don't know what the purpose is, it's just noise. It's just absolute noise. And Paul says, if you are serving in your part without love in your heart, it's just noise. And we find that the church without love is without purpose. It's without purpose. Usually when Steve gets up there and plays, he's got a purpose. He's playing with other people and he's got the song and he knows what he's doing. He knows when to hit this one and when to hit that one. And so it's not a clanging cymbal. It's music that goes along with a bigger picture of playing a song for us to enjoy and to sing alongside of. But if we don't do and function in our roles that we have without love in our heart, what? We're just a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If God has gifted you with prophetic powers, if He has gifted you with a faith, the kind of faith to be able to move mountains, if He's equipped you with that kind of faith where you've just said, I am completely all yours. Everything I got, it's yours, Lord. You can have it. I totally trust you to take care of me, watch over me, all those things. If you do have that kind of faith, prophetic powers to speak the word of God so that everybody's just like, whoa, that's awesome. But you don't have love in your heart. You have no value. No value. There's no value to God's kingdom whatsoever if we have all these gifts and we're even functioning in them, but with the wrong feeling, the wrong passion, the wrong desire in our heart, and that is to love. We have to serve in a way that's not just drudgery. Well, Andy said I got to sign up to serve somewhere today. I guess I'll find one or I can come in now. No, with love in our heart, we say, Lord Jesus, why did you call me here? Show me the part that you want me in so that we can see your kingdom built up and strong and a healthy body. And we see people coming in because we are being the body of Christ. Show me that place and may I serve with love and passion in my heart for someone that doesn't know Jesus. If I give away all that I have, if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. So Paul says, you have no purpose if you're a church without love. You have no value if you're a church without love. And you have no hope if you're a church without love. You can give all the money that you want to get. You can be as generous as you want, Paul says. But if you don't do it with love in your heart, there's no hope for that gift. It's not going to rest in the right hands, in the right place, used in the right way. And the same way with our gifts. If we don't love and have a passion and desire to serve God in this way, finding our part to serve in, without love in our heart, has no value, has no purpose, and it really has no hope. No hope for being rewarded to you or attributing to you in eternity that, hey, you did a great job serving that local church. And then, of course, Paul goes on to say our famous verses, love is patient and kind, and love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It doesn't rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they'll pass away. As for tongues, they'll cease. Knowledge, it'll pass away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. The greatest of these is love. Let me tell you what love means in the local church. Jesus was asked, what are the two greatest commandments? And the first one was, love the Lord your God, all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. Loving within the local church is one, caring for those that are within, but also caring and loving those that are outside the church. Why? So that they will come in to a loving relationship with Jesus. I like to think of it in terms of this. In Acts 2, 42 through 47, we saw that the first church that they were gathering together, 3,000, right, were added to their number. And so they had 3,000 Christians and they were worshiping in the temple. And then they would go and they'd meet in people's homes and they'd devote themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayer. And they had everything in common. They were selling stuff and helping each other out. And in verse 47, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, and the Lord did what? Added to their number daily those that were being saved. I like to picture this big fence, maybe like this one, with all these people on the other side of it. And God's got the gate, and He's got the key, and He's just ready to open that thing up and to start entering these people, start drawing them to the local church as we, as a church body, are prepared and ready to receive them well. And my prayer is that we become the church body that God says, I can entrust them with day after day souls entering that church and becoming believers and understanding who God is and loving Jesus with all their heart, and that He's just waiting until the church is equipped, and that as we're equipped, He's adding another one and adding another one and adding another one. And I can't wait till that day comes where He just says, you know what, they're ready. And day by day, people are being saved. Dick Eckes likes to rate my sermons. Have I told you this before? And he said, I'll never get a 10 until 3,000 souls are added in one day. Right? Peter's his number, his 10, right? Now, I don't know that that'll ever happen this side of heaven, but I can't wait for the day when we are a fully equipped, fully functioning body of believers that God will entrust us day by day with new souls to be saved because we're ready for them. Right? It's time to step up to do our part for the sake of that one soul. That one soul that Jesus is preparing to lead our way. It's time to prepare for that person. Why? Because that's love. That's love that makes our serving not clanging cymbals and useless and hopeless and purposeless. It makes what we do worth it and of value on a day-by-day basis as people come in. So I want to introduce to you some new vernacular that I want us to start using around here. I think I used that word right, but there's a big chance that I didn't, okay? The word is, as you saw it, as you came in the front doors on the right, is part. All right, part. The P stands for position. I want everything that we do to have a position title within the church. It might be usher, first impressions, a greeter, a server, a preacher, worship band, vocalist, instrumentalist. I want them all to have a position title. All right. The A stands for attributes. Every position ought to have attributes that we're looking for. I heard a comedian say one time that he said, how come the greeters at some of these churches, they go find the drill sergeant from the Army 30 years ago? Good morning. Welcome. Glad you're here today. Right. There's attributes that positions bring with them. Maybe hospitable, a smiling face, a warm handshake, administration, organized, creative, all these different attributes that we have. That we want to be able to highlight and say, this part, this position, could use these attributes. So that you might be able to look and say, you know what, that's not me. Or you look and say, wow, I didn't know that gift could be used in that way. The R stands for responsibilities. These are the responsibilities that you have in this position. In this part that you play, these are the responsibilities that you will be charged with sometime throughout serving in that role. And the T stands for time. I want us to be able to honestly share with you, this is going to take 5 hours a month. This is going to take 10 hours a month. This is going to take 4 hours every week, whatever the case may be. I also want us to be thinking in terms of every part lasts for a year and then we reevaluate. One of the hardest things about signing up is, you know, I'm in the job until I die, right? And we all have to have this exit ramp to be able to figure out when it is, when this job is over, and I can evaluate if that's really the role for me. And we'd like to ask you to serve in those parts for a year. Now, initially signing up for these roles and these parts can be very challenging sometimes, and so we've tried to bring some organization. But sometimes when you're starting to get organized and try to serve and volunteer for positions, it might look something like this. Tim and Lisa have a skit they'd like to share for you.
Is this the place to volunteer?
Yes, it is, but we don't open for another 6 minutes.
Oh, sorry.
Can you wait behind the line, please?
Sure. Is this the place to volunteer?
Yes, it is.
Good, because I was looking for the donuts. Is this the place to... Oop! Is this the place to volunteer?
Yes, it is. We put your idle hands in a busy, busy place to build great big hearts and happy, happy faces.
Is this the place to volunteer?
Yes, it is. What is your name?
Jim Hendricks. Johnny B. Good. Andy Bratt. Do I have to give you my real name?
Yes, sir. We do want to be able to contact you.
Yeah. Kevin McFarland. That's M.C. Farland. Yeah. There goes my Saturdays right out the window. Hey, Kev, what are you doing this weekend? Oh, I'll be up at the church cleaning toilets on my knees singing hymns. Kevin McFarland, that's M.C. Farland.
There we are.
You want my number?
I already have it.
You do?
Yes, 555-1212, divorced, lives on First Street in Kalkaska.
That's me.
You drive a blue BMW, license plate, hot one, baby. Prospective member, 57 months. You think moosing your hair on Sunday morning is adequate replacement for a shower? You might want to call your mother more than every 6 months. The man upstairs is not happy.
Andy?
The man way upstairs.
Kevin McFarland, MC Farland.
Number?
555-1212.
1212.
Yeah, boy, I never thought I'd be doing this in a million years.
We can help you with that.
I don't know where to even plug in.
If you're not ready, you can come back.
Yeah, I think I'm ready.
How long have you been coming to this church?
28 years. 17 minutes. About 3 years. So I can just try it out and see if it's a good fit?
Absolutely. That's what First Serve is all about.
Great. I kind of like that. Just try it out. No commitment. If I don't like it, sayonara.
Yep.
Kind of like a ministry prenup.
It's great that
could've
you're willing
used to one of those with my wife.
It's great that you're willing to give this a try. So what are you interested in?
Medieval torture devices fascinate me. Krispy Kreme donuts.
So what are you interested in?
What are my options?
We could use your help in hospital visitation.
Oh, I knew it! Okay, fine. It was a handicapped parking spot. But I was only there 10 minutes. Isn't this a little extreme? What are my options?
Hospital visitation and men's ministries?
Men's ministries. I could do something there.
Single adult.
Anything with the single adult female 20-something ministries?
Men's ministry, traffic team.
Oh, traffic team. I could do that. I like to work outside.
Oh, good. We could really use your help out there. Can't seem to keep enough traffic guys around.
Why's that?
It's all those Hummers in the parking lot. They seem to eat up those bright orange coats for breakfast.
Do you have anything where I could work with my hands?
Can you do carpentry?
It's one of my favorite hobbies.
Great. How's Thursday night for you?
Thursday? Or are you asking me out? That's my bail hearing. What? And miss Thursday night football? I can't do Thursday. I'm coming in from the city.
No problem. We want this to be a good fit. Let's see what else we've got.
Do you have anything that doesn't involve... this is embarrassing.
Oh, no, no, no. It's okay. We all have sensitive spots.
Just wondered if there's something that I'm not ready to...
You don't want to work with someone? It's okay. Who is it? The opposite sex?
No, it's not that. It's just that...
The homeless?
No, there's nothing wrong with them. It's me.
Incarcerated?
No, is there anything in there that I could avoid working with...
Yes?
Church people?
One of the challenging things about creating these parts and creating structure is doing it in such a way that it's organized, that you're trained well enough to be able to do the part that you have interest in, and that you have the help, and that you know who to go to when you need help with those with that position or that part that you're playing as well. So I want to roll out with you today real quickly this new organizational structure that we're going to be working under in order to help you identify what your part is. Okay, we're categorizing our servant parts into four columns. Our first one is administration. And I think I have a slide up for that. And the second one is discipleship. And the third one is evangelism. And the fourth one is Sunday morning. Okay. Sunday morning, because this is a beast in itself, if you will, and that we have lots of people, as we shared with you earlier, that serve. And so we wanted a special column just for Sunday morning. But under each area, we're going to, one, have a facilitator. I have four guys, and they're going to be out in the hallway afterwards so you can see who they are. Chris Zolan is going to lead our administration area. Our discipleship area is going to be Dale Ferrier. No, that's not right. Kevin Davis. Our evangelism, nope, that's wrong. Dale Ferrier, sorry. Our mission or our evangelism area is going to be led by Jeff Trebold, and our Sunday morning area is going to be led by Kevin Davis. Okay. Now, under each of these areas, we have different ministry team leaders, ministry leaders, and under administration, if you just want to go ahead and pop all of those up for me, administration deals with mostly the building and grounds. So we have building maintenance, grounds, landscaping, cleaning, the kitchen, finance and budgeting, the library, coffee shop and bookstore, scheduling and reservations, sound booth and technology. You'll notice some of these that are bolded. Those are bolded. If you look at the sheet that you have, that should have been handed to you. If you don't have one, raise your hand so we can make sure we get those passed out. If somebody, okay, make sure you have one of those. Those are the areas that we've highlighted that if you have interest in serving in one of those parts, we have parts available there that you can circle one of those. And also some questions that are on that sheet will lead you through that as well and point you to some of these different areas. Under discipleship, we have the following: life groups, faith training, women's ministry, men's ministry, children's ministry, and youth ministry. Under the ones, again, that are bolded, those are areas that we have definite need right now for people to step into those parts. Life groups, we're always looking for life group leaders, but that's something that we'll kind of develop as we go through our program. Faith training the same way. We have our teachers in place, but we're always on the lookout for more teachers to help as well. But those are the parts that we can use people in to be able to step into. Under evangelism, we have a bigger list. The list keeps, let's see, is long and then short and now long again. Missions, mission trips, weddings, funerals, school outreach, have yourself a merry little Christmas is what that stands for, trunk or treat, hospital visitation, special events, benevolence, and new member ministry. We have a couple of special events, trunk or treat coming up, and have yourself a merry little Christmas, where lots of hands are needed to be able to make those programs work, as they are definitely outreaches to our community. And so again, we ask you if there's an area in there that you could serve in a part, that you would circle that, and we'll have a ministry team leader follow up with you. And then on Sunday morning, we have a pretty good list also. Worship team, drama team, worship planning, Sunday morning servers, Sunday secretary, baptism team, security, first impressions, communion prep, prayer team, prayer chain, Sunday prayer requests, preacher prayer partners. And so all these different parts that we have that we could use people in to be able to serve and find your part. Now, under some of those, again, if you would take that sheet out right now. And on the front, we do ask for your information. We switched over to a new database, and we want to make sure that we have everyone's information in there correctly. That allows us to be able to contact you and reach out to you. We won't sell your information. We've not been given a good enough offer yet. Just kidding. We won't sell your information, but it is very helpful to be able to contact people so that we can touch base or follow up with a request that you may have had. And they ask you just a basic question. Are you currently serving? You know, and if you're not, don't be ashamed or embarrassed. We'll only send four guys with baseball bats to your house tonight. But don't be afraid to put on there that, no, I'm not serving in a place right now. If you are, we ask you to let us know what those parts are to make sure, again, that our information is correct. And if you're not, we ask you to go ahead and circle those areas that you have interest in serving in finding a part in. Now, circling does not mean that we are locking you into that. It means that we are going to follow up with you to make sure that it is the correct part for you, that it does sound interesting to you, that we can set up training for you, and that we can make it a good experience for you. Okay? Now, if you're already serving in a part, we're assuming that you're going to stay in that part unless you communicate with us on here in some way, shape, or form. Okay? There may be some that said, you know what, for 17 years I've been doing this part and I'm kind of ready to step away from it. We need to know that so that we can talk to others and find out how we might be able to replace you there. And then it asks you a list of questions on the back. We have some things like funeral dinners. There have been a lot of new folks added to our church over the last couple of years, but we've never refreshed our funeral dinner list. So if you'd like to be contacted to fix a part of the meal when we have a funeral dinner, or there's also a question on there about helping with meals if somebody has a need, or maybe they're in the hospital and could use some meals when they come home or had a baby, and you'd like to be involved in that. Again, we have a lot of new families, and we've not really created a list for that, and we'd like to. And so you can answer that question accordingly. And some of the questions will lead you to some of the parts that we've talked about. So here's my request for you, okay? fill this out. All right? I'm just going to stop talking here. Well, no, I won't. But as I'm talking, go ahead and fill that out. While you're doing it, if you're a guest with us, fill out your connection card as well. And you can put that in the offering basket as it's passed later. But these you can put in the offering basket as it's passed later. Or there's a basket on the table out in the hallway where our four facilitators will be. And they can help you understand what the different parts are that we have, the different areas. They have some general or generic part descriptions. So being a part of a certain ministry, what that might entail, and they can walk you through those things. And here's our commitment to you, because I know this can be very frustrating. We will follow up with you. Okay, you have my promise, and if it doesn't happen within the next few weeks, you come and find me. But we will have our ministry leaders follow up with you. All right. Now, you might be asking yourself or saying to yourself, Andy, it seemed like we had a structure in place. How come all this new and why all this? These guys here and that. Here's the reason. As new families come into our church, and we walk alongside these new families or new individuals that come into our church and become Christians and say, I want to be all in. We have to know how to disciple them and put them into a structure that makes sense, where we know where the people are, to be able to get them plugged into their part. Because that's all a part of coming into a church body, is knowing where your part is. They've been called here to worship and be part of our church family. And if we're not ready to receive them with this structure, then they're just going to fall by the wayside, and we're just going to continue being a church that sees people come in the front door and out the back door and side doors, and they show up one day, you're like, huh, it seems like I used to see that at you at church once in a while. We need to have a structure in place that not only has everyone serving in their parts, but as Paul said, serving with love in our hearts, in the various parts, so that as people come into the church, we're ready to receive them and care for them, so that those that are unchurched, that don't have a relationship with Jesus, may be able to find one here at Kalkaska Church of Christ. It's time to find our part. It's time to find your place to plug in. And we do it for the love of God. We do it for the love of Jesus. And we do it for the love of that next soul that walks through the door that doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Let's build the crowd that will be in eternity, singing around the throne of God someday, by being a church that serves, that functions at full capacity, with full love in our hearts, and seeing a community change for Jesus Christ. Now, if you're here and you're a guest with us, I'm sorry that you're here to this day, that we had this message mostly for members, but I hope it gave you a glimpse of what it means to be a part of this church. And if you are sitting there and saying, I've never said I want to be a member of this church, and you decide today's the day, I'm going to be down at the cross, I'd love to have you come forward, and I could talk to you about that. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you are now feeling that love of Jesus in your heart and saying, He died for me, for my sins, and you want to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I would invite you to come to the cross, and I'll meet you there as well. Why don't you stand with me? Let's pray, and the worship team will lead us in songs. Father, we thank you for this morning. I thank you for giving us your word and the outline that Paul gave us as a church to be able to understand what it means to be gifted in such a way that as all of us are doing our part and functioning at full capacity, that we are a healthy church and that you'll add to our number daily those that are being saved because we're ready for them. Father, I pray that we would be that church. And Lord, if there's anyone here that's not yet stepped forward in faith and said, we want to be part of this church, or there's anybody that hasn't stepped out in faith and said, I choose Jesus, may this be the day, Father God. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.